It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Good morning. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Senator John Sununu has become the first Republican to join some of his Democratic colleagues in calling for Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez to resign. And today, the Senate Judiciary Committee meets to discuss who from the White House and Justice Department should be subpoenaed to testify about the firing of eight U.S. attorneys. The scandal has become one of the biggest crises of Gonzalez's career. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports on how Gonzalez has survived previous controversies and why this one may be different.
This is hardly the first time Alberto Gonzalez has been the target of congressional ire. 2 years ago, when he was on the stand to become attorney general, he calmly deflected questions from senators who wanted to know about a memo he wrote as White House counsel that narrowly defined torture.
First of all, Senator, the president has said we're not going to engage in torture under any circumstances. And so you're asking me to answer a hypothetical that is never going to occur.
Gonzalez was confirmed by a vote of 60 to 36. Almost exactly a year later, Gonzalez became the top defender of a program to tap Americans' phone calls without a judge's order.
I do not think we are thumbing our nose at the Congress or at the courts with respect to the terrorist surveillance program.
On each of those scandals, the administration eventually retreated, disavowing the torture memos and putting the surveillance program under court oversight. But none of those controversies ever reached a point where President Bush had to personally come to his friend's defense, as he did yesterday in the controversy over eight fired U.S. attorneys.
I do have confidence in Attorney General Al Gonzalez.
And even that was tepid.
He's right. Mistakes were made. And I'm frankly not happy about them.
So what makes this scandal different from all other scandals? Harvard Law professor David Barron has a hypothesis.
There was a sense that those were not like Nixon-like scandals in the sense they were substantive positions that the government had, which you might have thought were odious or you might have thought were attractive, but you didn't think were partisan.
In contrast, Barron says this issue has gotten more attention because the Justice Department is accused of truly playing politics with the U.S. attorney dismissals. And there's another major difference between this scandal and others. Georgetown Law professor David Cole notes that this controversy emerged with a Congress that's controlled by Democrats.
Which means that they decide whether subpoenas are issued for documents. They decide whether investigations are undertaken. And the fact of the matter was that for the previous 6 years, with the committees in Republican hands, there were virtually no subpoenas issued.
It was only after Congress demanded internal Justice Department documents that Gonzalez acknowledged his testimony before the Senate Judiciary Committee was incomplete. Throughout his career, one of Gonzalez's assets has been his close friendship with President Bush. When Gonzalez was White House counsel, that friendship was a clear plus. But Pepperdine Law professor Doug Kamek believes when Gonzalez became head of the Justice Department, he may have encountered a common problem in the Attorney General's office.
Namely, the responsibility to separate your obligation to be a member of the President's cabinet from your obligation to represent the interests of the law and the Department of Justice.
That has become one focus of the Democrats' attacks on Gonzalez. They accuse him of pursuing the President's political goals instead of pursuing justice. So, in a twist of fortune, if Gonzalez wants to ensure his continued service to the President, he may have to distance himself from him. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
And you can follow the trail of events that led up to the firings of the U.S. attorneys and read internal Justice Department emails at npr.org.